James chapter 4, beginning verse 1 to 10. Let's pray. Lord, open now our minds, spiritual eyes, that we might behold the wondrous truths out of thy law. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm reading from the New King James, but if you're reading the King James, I'm sure that there are some words that were probably changed, but majority of the words remain the same. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they come from your desires for pleasure, that war in your members? You lust and you do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. What do you think that the Scripture says in vain? The Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. But he gives more grace, therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. We will focus our attention on verse 7 up to 10, but I will refer to the other verses before that in the process. The expression getting closer to God or drawing near to God was originally associated with the priesthood in Israel, because what I'm trying to drive at this morning is this evening is that our desire to seek continually God so that we will be more drawn closer to him. This is the thought that is going to be dwelt upon from verses 2 to 10. Under the old regulations of the covenant, the priests represented the people before God. And what a tremendous privilege and yet pull up responsibility before God. Prior to coming near God's presence, the priest had to be washed physically and be ceremonially clean, which meant that he had bought to wear the proper garments required of him and offer sacrifices that made his own heart right with God. And then from that, he could draw near to God on the people's behalf, which he represents. Eventually, the Hebrew word for drawing closer to God meant anyone who approached the presence of God in worship and prayer. The term became synonymous even of those whose hearts were far from God when they worship him. Isaiah make that clear to us in chapter 29, verse 13, which says, "These people draw near with their words, honor me with their lip service, but they remove their heart far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by constant repetitious process." And so the people claim to be close to God, but they were disobedient and merely went through the motions of going inside and out of the temple without having no clue what is the important purpose of coming to be instructed in the Word of God. God will bring judgment upon them. Religion or their religious practices had become a routine experience instead of real joy and real experience. Jesus quoted Isaiah's condemnation of Israel's hypocrisy when he spoke to the Pharisees, which are the religious teachers of his day, in Mark 15, verses 2 to 9, Mark 15, 7, chapter 7, 6 to 7, and Matthew 15, 7 to 9. It says the same thing. It says, "Ye hypocrites, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, 'These people draweth nigh and unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men.'" In other words, the tradition of men is what they teach the people instead of the Word of God. We all, to be honest, are capable of this experience of sometimes that unavoidable sense of hypocrisy, which if we are not careful. Often we slip into routine patterns of worship, and we neglect to give God our love and devotion to Him, or even hid the Word of God that was given to us. That can be an experience of a Christian. If we want to be called God's people, we must be obedient and worship Him honestly and sincerely. How then is this possible? How can we come close to God? Well, James gives five ways. In verse 7, he says, "Humble yourselves before God." It means yielding ourselves to authority and will, to God's authority and His will. Committing our lives to Him and His total control of our lives, and be willing to follow Him. That is easy here to say, but in practice, it's a battle. Secondly, resist the devil, still in verse 7. We cannot resist the devil unless we do the first part, humble ourselves before God and submit ourselves to Him. Because if we resist the devil in our strength without submitting to God, it's a failure. We must not allow Satan to entice and tempt us. Every day is a spiritual battle. In verse 2, as you can see, "You lust," if you look at that, "you lust and have not." This explains the reality that ye encourage and cherish desires and appetites, which when you cannot satisfy them, become all the more eager and sometimes furious within us if we don't get them. And this happens because any Christian go the wrong way to work in seeking to calm their desires and satisfy their inner longing. This is only to be done by good prayers, by praying that God will give us what is good and what is satisfying and what is glorifying in His sight, and enable each one of us to control that desire for that which is not good. So it's only by the process of calling unto God, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that we can avoid and overcome all these temptations. Number three, according to verse 8, let us wash our hands and purify our hearts. It means we should lead a pure life. Be cleansed from sin, replacing our desire to sin with our desire to know God's purity. Cleansing your hands wherein soever you have sinned with your hands, and purify your hearts wherein soever in your hearts you have allowed yourselves to be of double mind, not serving God wholly, but endeavoring to keep on good terms, both with Him and our relationship with others in the world. Not doing the things of the world, but being good terms not only with our people within the fellowship, but with others in our community. That is a balanced testimony. Number four, let there be sorrow, according to verse 9, and deep grief for our sin. Be cleansed from sin. Let us not be afraid to express our heartfelt sorrow when we have done something amiss and something that is disgraceful and hateful in the sight of God. Sometimes it's easy to come to the throne of God without that heartfelt, repentant attitude. We can say many, many times to feel sorry. But God knows our hearts. That's why if we don't mean it, we are liable to repeat it again. So let's be sorrowful and ask God's grace to give us that deep grief for our sin. Number five, let's humble ourselves before the Lord, that He will lift us up in honor, according to verse 10. True humility arising from our knowledge of our sin and sorrow for them and of God's perfect holiness and perpetual nearness to us shall be rewarded with a cheerful sense of pardon and a real spiritual exaltation. Bowing in humility before God means that we should recognize that our worth, not self-worth, but the worth that God looks at us from God's point of view alone. To be humble involves leaning on His power and His guidance and not going on our own independent way. So the principle of getting closer to God or drawing near to God, to the humble, is further illustrated on this Jesus parable of the prodigal son. In Luke, in the Gospel of Luke 15, verse 11 to 32, I'll just pick up some verses from there. You don't have to read them all at the moment. First, the prodigal son manifests humility and repentance in verse 18 to 19 when he said, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in your sight, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. That's the type of humility that God wants us in drawing near to Him. There's a sense of sorrow and deep repentance. That is the sense that this prodigal son prayed. I am not worthy. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. That's a humility. I don't know. I wonder if we can say that to God as well. But we are children of God now, isn't it? That when you pray that prayer, he is not a child of God, isn't it? But that shows there's a humility on the prodigal son. And then the next thing, it speaks of his behavior before his father. It pictures a longing to draw near to God. In verse 20, he got up and come near to his father. He got up and come near to his father. And finally, in verse 20 also, he was still when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. You see, those two conditions, we must have that humility before God. We must keep longing to be near God. And then when that God sees that, as our father, when that physical father of the prodigal son, when he saw him, he felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him. God sees all our needs. He knows what we need, that we need forgiveness and humility. But we can only produce that in our hearts if we will kneel God, kneel before God, and pray and call unto him in prayer. Amen.
Amen.